Welcome to the History Reviewed channel, where we analyze the lies and deceptions of history. That song that you listened to there is Everybody Wants to Rule the World, and it was released in 1985. However, on the Wikipedia page, it says that when they wrote this song, they wrote it rather quickly and they kind of threw it together. And the song's chorus was actually Everybody Wants to Go to War. And they clearly then went and changed it. And interestingly enough, during the first Gulf War in 1990 to 1991, this song was actually banned by the BBC because of its political message. Anyway, it sounds like they're a bunch of babies. The truth is the truth. Anyhow, the point is power. Power and the seizure of power. That's what life in the jungle is about. And that's what we're going to be discussing in this video. I know that many whites get depressed when they see how this crazy lunatic world is carrying on, how blacks and Jews do pretty much the hell what they want to. They're irresponsible. They do as they please. They lie as much as they need to. They steal what they want to. Take a look, for example, recently at the collapse of the Jew-owned company FTX, which was a trading platform for Bitcoin and crypto. And the young Jew rat, fat Jew rat with his Afro hairstyle, suddenly was hacked. Just as the company was collapsing and people were withdrawing their money, or money which they thought they could still withdraw, all of a sudden, the Jew rat claims that the company was hacked. Next thing you know is about $1 billion is hacked and taken out of the company. And I thought it was most convenient that the company was hacked just as it was running out of money. And to me, it looked like the Jew rat hacked or faked or pretended that the company was hacked. Meanwhile, he was doing stuff behind the scenes because he had this weird accounting system that no doubt was planned, well planned. This weird accounting system where he could go in and do all kinds of things and there would be no trace of who did what. So I think that the Jew rat claimed his company was hacked, quotes hacked. Meanwhile, he just quickly grabbed about $1 billion before his company totally collapsed, and he just quickly took it off to his own accounts through whatever crookery he'd planned. There's all kinds of indications that the Jew rat had been planning a lot of things over a long period of time so that if he needed to do a quick bit of stealing, that everything's in place, that he can do some stealing without there being any record in the software that he did steal. So I found the most convenient hacking, and I say hacking in inverted commas, I found that very, very suspicious, and I think it's a simple case that the Jew rat came and stole about $900 million of his customers' money and sent it off somewhere, and then he claims, "Oh no, I was hacked, I was hacked." Anyway, we'll see how this disgusting thing played out because this little fat Jew rat with the Afro hairstyle may have stolen more money than the Jew Bernie Madoff did. And in South Africa, there's all kinds of stealing and stuff going on all the time. Blacks apparently are stealing something like 2,000 tons of coal. Can you believe this? They are stealing 2,000 tons of coal every day. Coal that is heading off to the power stations. Anyway, If you look around the world, if you look in South Africa, if you look in America, if you look at what's happening to Europe, to America, everywhere, you will see that, God help us, Jews are lying, stealing, cheating left, right, and center. And there isn't an aspect of life where there isn't cheating, lying, stealing, murdering, etc. going on. So anyway, if you look around the world, you'll see tons and tons of examples of whites being killed, whites being killed for no reason at all, raped, killed. And it's like the world is a freaking jungle, and there's just freaking mayhem going on in this jungle. And you wonder what the hell is going to come of it. And I know that many whites are very despondent when they look at this jungle and they see all this craziness as the Jews are stealing and lying and cheating and stealing some more and lying about the lying, and it just never stops. And everybody who's got power, who's in any position, they are lying, cheating, stealing like crazy. Whether it is Fauci, whether it is the Bidens, whether it's all kinds of Jews and liberals, blacks, you name it, man. So I know whites, there are many whites who are unhappy about things, and they must be looking at this and saying, good God, how are we going to survive? What are we going to do? Well, over the years, as I studied many things, I always looked back on our ancient past in Europe, especially in pre-Christian times, pagan times, long time ago. And the one thing that I realized is that whites actually have lived in a jungle, and we've lived in a jungle, whether it is Europe, whether it is even Asia, because we've spread all over the show, whether it is the Middle East, North Africa, there are many places where whites went, North America, South America, Africa, and we have lived in wild places, in wild times, where truly wild things happened. And I particularly like the way the Romans dealt with the madness. And the Romans are a wonderful lesson in how to conquer the jungle. And we'll look at the Romans and we will get back to the gods of war shortly. I'm just juggling a bunch of videos. A bunch of very important videos. So we have lived in the jungle. And just because we live in the soft, capitalist, shopping mall world of today doesn't mean that we can't survive in the jungle. We've lived in the jungle before, and we've actually done extremely well in the jungle. And if you look at the way the world works, the whole world has always been a jungle. The whole world is run by the laws of the jungle. It's always been that way. It's been that way not just for humans, but it's that way for animals all the time. But we've come out of it, and after tens of thousands of years of struggle and strife and pain and war and endless threats to our existence, the European people have come out on top. We've come out on top, and we've literally ruled 3/4 of the world. 120 years ago, our people controlled probably between 2/3 to 3/4 of the planet. We've been everywhere, we've done everything, we've fought everybody, and we came out on top. So how come we are now going downhill? Well, of course, the answer is Jews. And we will return to that particular topic. Jews are the ones that are creating the conditions that are sending us down while they're going up. Filthy scum. So what are we to do? Well, I'm absolutely convinced that we have to return to our old ways. We have to return to our old methods. We have to think in our old ways, because our old ways are winning ways. And it doesn't matter how brutal the jungle is. Remember this. It wasn't the blacks who came out of the jungle and conquered the world. It wasn't the Jews who came out of the jungle and conquered the world. It was the European people who came out of the jungle and conquered the world. We've done it before. We can easily do it again. And this time we've got even more tools and methods and technology and knowledge than we had before. It's going to be a piece of cake for us, as long as we stick to a couple of rules. On the photo in front of you, rule number one is white unity. The strength of the wolf is the pack. We need to return to our wolf packs. And if you look at Hitler and the Nazis, they used the wolf pack theme endlessly. They used wolf pack themes even in warfare, for submarines, for tanks, for everything. The concept of whites functioning as a wolf pack. If we go back to that concept, we're going to be fine. We work as a team of whites, we work in our wolf packs, and we'll survive in the jungle. We know how to do it. And we just need to refresh the laws in our minds a little bit. So if you go and look on Wikipedia, for example, the law of the jungle. What is the law of the jungle? It says the following. The law of the jungle, also called jungle law, is an expression that has come to describe a scenario where anything goes. The Oxford English Dictionary defines the law of the jungle as the code of survival in jungle life, now usually with reference to the superiority of brute force or self-interest in the struggle for survival. Then it goes on to say the phrase was introduced in Rudyard Kipling's 1894 work, The Jungle Book, where it described the behavior of wolves in a pack. So let's read what Rudyard Kipling wrote. And he wrote this poem, and it's called The Law for the Wolves. Now this is the law of the jungle, as old and as true as the sky, and the wolf that shall keep it may prosper, but the wolf that shall break it must die. As the creeper that girdles the tree trunk, the law runneth forward and back, for the strength of the pack is the wolf, and the strength of the wolf is the pack. Wash daily from nose tip to tail tip. Drink deeply, but never too deep. And remember, the night is for hunting, and forget not, the day is for sleep. The jackal may follow the tiger, but the cub, when thy whiskers are grown, remember, the wolf is a hunter. Go forth and get food of thy own. Keep peace with the lords of the jungle, the tiger, the panther, the bear, and trouble not Hathi the silent, and mock not the boar in his lair. When pack meets with pack in the jungle, and neither will go from the trail, lie down till the leaders have spoken, it may be fair words shall prevail. When ye fight with a wolf of the pack, ye must fight him alone and afar, lest others take part in the quarrel, and the pack is diminished by war. So that's a lovely poem from Rudyard Kipling, in proper Western white European style. Something beautifully written with a meaningful message. and some good words of advice in there. So he talks about the strength of the pack is the wolf, and the strength of the wolf is the pack. And that is all about unity. And when he tells the wolf, if your pack meets another pack in the jungle, and neither one wants to leave the trail, you must lie down and wait for the order from your leaders, because maybe they'll sort it out peacefully. So it's all very cute and very nice from Rudyard Kipling. And so he alludes to the notion that there is a law of the jungle, that the jungle has laws. And those laws are just the laws of nature. These are the laws that have ruled the earth for all time. These are the laws that have ruled the earth from before there was life and from after all forms of life came. And it didn't matter whether it was in the sea, on the land, or in the air. The laws of the jungle, the laws of the earth, there is only one law. So, Wikipedia alludes to the fact that the law of the jungle is anything goes, and that brute force and self-interest and survival of the fittest, literally, is actually the only law. And I would agree with that. But we should understand and make it clear that the basis of existence in the jungle, that the jungle's background is competition. That in the jungle, there is competition between and amongst everybody. There is wild competition in the jungle all the time. So in the jungle, it's every man for himself, every beast for himself, or every herd for itself, depending on how they organize. But everyone's on the make. Everyone is competing for something. Mostly in the jungle is a menu. And most everybody, most of the animals in the jungle are on the menu. They are either eating something off the menu, or they themselves are on the menu. It is a real dog-eat-dog kind of existence. But such is the nature of the jungle. This is how life on Earth has always been. So the background is that everybody who lives in the jungle is out to get something. Every animal, every species is out to get something, and it wants to exist. And unlike Jewish liberalism and Jewish bullshit and liberal crap, the fact of the matter is that everything is up for grabs. Anyone can steal anything or kill anybody in the jungle. The jungle is ruthless and it's competitive all the time. But remember, whites lived in actual jungles, whether they were jungles in the north of Europe, in Germany, or wherever, or in Asia, India. We've lived in real jungles, and we've lived in jungles of humans, like Europe, for example. And we've come out of all these jungles and all this trickery and dog-eat-dog, we've come out on top. So living in a wild, crazy world where all kinds of people and groups are busy lying and cheating and stealing and thieving and murdering and torturing and just carrying on like lunatics, like a bunch of scum that they all are, there's no reason why the European people can't very quickly get back on top of things and sort things out. So when you see this madness in the jungle, in this modern civilization, the shopping mall mentality, going to hell in a handbasket, When you see all this madness, just remember this is the jungle. We're back to the jungle. Jews and blacks have taken us back to the jungle again. They just couldn't help themselves. They just couldn't help themselves. In the end, they had to be themselves. Which is not always a bad thing, actually. I'm very happy that nature is taking its course, and that nature is taking us down certain paths where finally all the fakery is coming to an end. All the deception and the pretense and the fake notions are finally thrown aside, and you can see everybody for the bags of scum and garbage that they are. You can see them for the human filth that they really are, the weak, pathetic garbage that they actually were and are and will remain to be. So now all pretense at civilization is being thrown aside, tossed aside on the rubbish heap, and we can see that the world is the jungle that it always was. But I want to discuss the laws of the jungle. You've only heard of one law, and that being anything goes. There is no law except the one law, and that law is that anything goes. The other name for that law is power. The other name for the law is power. That in fact, might is right. That he who has the power is always right. That's the first thing you must understand about, let's call it the first law of the jungle, is that he who has the power is always right. Might is right. He who has the strongest jaws and sinks his teeth into his prey, he is right. But we as humans, as Europeans, we know that our strength is also in our unity, that that is our greatest strength. So we don't just sink our teeth into each other. We do not cannibalize each other. Our teeth are meant for sinking into the valid prey that we want to live from or that we need to defend ourselves from. So we as the wolf pack have every right to go and take part in that jungle and sink our teeth individually or collectively into our prey or our enemy. So might is right, and we want to be as strong as possible because that's the secret to surviving in the jungle, is we must build up our strength and build up our unity. Strength and unity is what makes us win. And we've done this before. We'll do it again. It's no problem for us. So power is the thing to strive for. And we will also return again and again to power and discussions about power in all sorts of ways. Power is important. And Jews have hunted ruthlessly for power. And when they get it, they use it. And so do the blacks. When they get that power, they've been lusting for that power, and when they have it, they're going to use it. And we, in our shopping mall world, have been sidetracked by all kinds of doodads and baubles and all kinds of nonsense, and we forgot about the most important thing in the jungle, power. But we will quickly sort that out and gather ourselves together once we toss all the garbage aside and we are back to ourselves the way that we've always been, we're going to be fine. We'll be mighty strong and it won't take long. But if the main law of the jungle is anything goes and power, that you can use power in any way, shape or form, There is a second law in the jungle. And this is a law that you learn from warfare. And warfare is a normal part of the jungle. And we, as a people, European people, we have always known that we need to be strong and we need to be militant. We need to be willing to defend our group, our tribe, our nation. And it's very much a deep part of all of us. It's one of the most natural things among all white people. All white people think in tribal and national ways. Every white person in every white country, everywhere on the planet, thinks the same. I've spoken to whites from all over. We think exactly the same. It is something that is drilled into us. It's a part of us. It is a built-in survival strategy. We know that we must defend our tribe, our nation. And warfare and being militant is actually something that we're very good at. This is what made us the dominant force that we were. We weren't the majority on the planet, but we sure were the strongest and most kick-ass. And war itself is just a mirror of the jungle. Warfare itself teaches you the same lessons that you learn in the jungle. Warfare, even between humans, is just another level of the jungle. Of course, we don't want brother wars. Those things need to be brought to an end at the soonest. But in wars with other humans and other human enemies, those things are definitely fine. War against our racial enemies, big thumbs up. That's yes. That must rage till the end of time. But if you study warfare, as I have done, and I love military history and war-related stuff, you will discover that there's another lesson, another law of warfare that comes out there. That when people fight wars, there are certain ethics. There are certain things that even the weirdos and the beasts don't do. That there are some things that are just too nasty, that most sides quietly don't do. An example might be, for example, the animals might not cannibalize their own, and the wolf will not eat of his own. He knows that's just too disgusting, too low down, too filthy. So even in this dog-eat-dog world, there are certain kinds of behavior that many of the animals actually quietly desist from. Not all of them, but some of them, or most of them. There are certain things that are just too low down. If you were to think of the Jews and pedophilia or sex with babies and all kinds of weird crap like that, that would be an example of something that the vast majority of humans wouldn't do, but Jews would do, since they are the lowest scum of the lot. But in this murky world of the creepiest, darkest deeds, there is another law. And that law comes out in warfare. And in warfare, there is a tacit understanding about another law. And that law, let's call it the second law of the jungle, is this. The second law of the jungle is that if you do it, then so can I. If you engage in that behavior, then so can I. And it works like this. Let's say one side captures some members of the other side, and they take these people that they've captured and they decide to torture them to death. Then they've gone into a dark, murky area. They've gone into an aspect of the jungle that the vast majority would not go down to that level. But the second law of the jungle states that if you can do it, I can do it too. So if you've gone and you've tortured our people to death, then you've opened the door to the second law. And that means we can torture yours to death. The second law plays itself out in many wars with all kinds of tactics and tricks and nasty stuff. But like I say, for the most part, whites especially, try to steer clear of these darker things. Another example would be in warfare, for example, the vast majority of whites won't go into war and then steal from other people. But you will find that there are those who do that kind of thing, or rape, or whatever. So, when somebody on the other side behaves in a certain way to your side, and they go into these dark, dreary, evil spaces, and they do things that are really despicable, you must always keep in mind the second law. Because the second law basically either allows us to engage in the same behavior, or we could say, okay, that's really too disgusting for us to do, but what we will do is we will punish you in some way. We'll take some extra action that we would not have done in the past. So maybe we might say, okay, you grabbed our people and you tortured them to death. We are still not so low that we're going to torture your people to death, but what we will do is if we do catch some of your people, we're just going to kill them outright. We're not going to give them the pleasantry of surrender and they live with us, etc., and we feed them and we give them first aid, etc. We're just going to shoot them outright because you've proven yourself to be such a dirtbag. And you get soldiers in warfare who do behave in that kind of way. They see various things that disgust them and then they decide, you know what, next time we capture somebody, we're just not going to even bother to capture them. We're just going to shoot them outright. And that kind of thing happens in warfare, in the real world. So, keep in mind the second law. Because the second law is a kind of law of revenge. Keep the second law in mind. When you see all the filthy, disgusting, dirty, hideous things that Jews and other scum get up to. And keep the second law in mind that, you know what, we normally play our game pretty clean. And we do have ethics in our wolf pack and in our wolf packs. But you know what, when we meet up with you again, there are some things that we're just not going to accord you. There are some pleasantries that we would have accorded any of our enemies, but you know what? When we get to meet you next time, we are just not going to extend those pleasantries to you. You don't deserve them. So just keep in mind, the jungle. The jungle is all about competition, and anything goes in the jungle. But for our wolf packs, remember, power and unity. And keep in mind that second law. Let's call it the law of revenge. That second law of the jungle, that those who have done hideous, brutal, evil, insanely horrible things to our wolf pack and members of our wolf pack, that there is the second law, the law of revenge. I just want to return to the first law of the jungle, the main law of the jungle, the one that says anything goes. Because as I've said, even though the concept is that anything goes, the reality is that over thousands of years, and this is especially true among whites, there are certain things that are not done. They are too creepy, and because the other side can also use them, you now have a sort of tacit agreement that neither side will do it, because they are too scared that someone else will return the favor, engage in revenge, and use the same trick. But now, because so much time has gone by and technology has changed and political systems have changed, there are those people who think that these laws are fixed, when in fact they are never fixed. That there can be somebody who comes along and does something truly degenerate, or just so cunning or weird or whatever that it catches everyone off guard. Now, I've mentioned that if someone does something to you and it's brutal and cruel, that you can engage in revenge against that. But there could be a trick that isn't brutal or cruel, and so the side that uses that trick or tactic doesn't have to fear using it, because they're not going to be hurt physically as a result of it. So let's say, for example, that one side engages in tremendous deception. Let's say they come up with some kind of strategy whereby they always win and it appears as if they are cheating in some way, some kind of trick. And you just can't get to beat them. They always win, they're always a step ahead of you, and you just can't win. In such a case, one would then struggle to find a counter strategy that will work. And if that trick that they are using is so clever that you can't find a counter strategy to it, you may well find that at the end of the day, you have to learn what it is that the enemy is doing, and you must do it. And you must either do it to the same level as them, or you may even have to be better at it than them. So if it's some kind of deception trick, you're going to have to learn to lie better or deceive better than them. And that until you learn to do that, you will always lose. So you need to be aware that there may be things where we can't really get our hands on the enemy and physically punish them, because they're just too quick or too fast or too many steps ahead of us. And that at the end of the day, that you will be forced to adopt their devious tricks and their methods. Because if you don't adopt their methods, you will never be able to beat them. And in warfare and strategy and politics, there are many occasions over the centuries where these kinds of things have happened. I did a video where I mentioned that Christians especially are at a disadvantage, because Christians have got so many fixed rules and requirements. Whereas when you are playing at a high level in power play, your enemies may be much more agile and fluid than you are, and that may give them their big edge. So just be aware that in high-level power play, that whites need to be flexible, need to adapt, and need to even create new tactics and new methods. And of course, the other side, if they're being beaten, they might cry foul. But remember, the law of the jungle is that really ultimately anything goes. There is a quote from Hitler where he says, "Nature does not forgive weakness." And one of the things you'll find is that any form of weakness or anything that can be exploited and turned against you is then something that you've got to be cognizant of. So maybe you've got a particular ethic where you care about something and your enemy sees this kindness as a form of weakness that they can exploit. And then you may see, look, I'm losing because my kindness is being used against me. So I'm going to have to stop being kind in that way because it can cause me to lose. So life is actually very tough. And anything, any form of weakness, whether it's physical or mental or ethical, can be used against you. And you need to be aware of these kinds of things. Because in this jungle, the enemy can come at you in almost every conceivable way and many ways that you can't even conceive. And when you are dealing with racial enemies who don't have the same ethics as Europeans, expect anything. But don't let it get you down. Don't let what appears to be their dirty tricks, don't let that get you down. Because we can play the same dirty game as them, and we need to be flexible, play dirty back to them, and play it back to them with a vengeance. Don't be afraid to do to racial enemies things that you would normally never dare to do even to a white enemy. When it comes to racial stuff, anything goes. And then I think most whites will be quite fine. There really is nothing to be afraid of. Just be aware that deviousness is a part of existence, that when you are fighting for your existence, that any kind of devious move by an enemy is something that you must expect and counter. And if you need to play dirty, and play dirty even dirtier than them, do it. When you're dealing with racial enemies, there is no need to play nice European style. We'll look at many things in coming videos, and we will study war, and we will study many aspects of life. And you'll see, we're going to be fine. We're going to be absolutely fine. And our wolf packs, once our wolf packs get going, we're going to be munching on all kinds of disgusting enemies and licking our lips and having some good howls together.
So for all this awesome, neat, wonderful stuff, you know, you don't thank the Lord, you thank the whites. We gave you Breaking Bad and all the songs by Creed, all the cast of Friends and trash like Tara Reid, a virtual world of porn so you can spill your seed. Ray-Ban glasses, leggy blondes with tiny asses, frisbee sports and fancy coffee too, energy efficient lights. And so for all this awesome, neat, wonderful stuff, you know you don't thank the Lord, you thank the whites. Thank the whites!